GM friends, welcome to Web3 Bytes, a short but informative clip from one of our full podcast episodes. If you like this content, check out the full episode and don't forget to subscribe. It helps us grow, but it also makes sure that you don't miss another episode of the Web3 Academy podcast. Enjoy.
Why did you initially start MetaStreet, and what is the vision and the reason for you guys building this product?
I started my career in investment banking, and so did David, who's one of the two other co-founders. We actually worked at Deutsche Bank together. I sublet his apartment when I was interning. This is a while ago. And then after we had that experience, David went into crypto full time. I went on and worked in traditional finance, worked in private equity, did a bunch of stuff around real estate. So we were securitizing big pools of asset-backed securities, which is relevant for this story. And in 2021, NFTs are going parabolic. Everyone's talking about them and primarily thinking about them as like art and collectibles, which is a valid market in its own right and like also deserves a financing arm. But the bigger opportunity here, obviously, is like looking beyond art and collectibles and thinking about the NFT, the ERC-721 contract as just the real asset equivalent for crypto, that the ERC-20 is the financial asset. And so what I mean by that is ERC-20s are like stocks, currencies, commodities, right? ERC-721s are real assets. They're the traditional finance equivalent would be like real estate, equipment, capital, things like that. And that market requires its own debt market behind it. And that debt market for real assets does not look like the debt market for financial assets. So like financial assets have margin accounts, you know, you trade with leverage, your crypto equivalent is Aave, Compound. Well, real assets don't, they don't operate like that. And it's primarily because they don't trade frequently. So you have different mechanisms. And so we had this experience in our previous lives working with those debt markets. And to us, the opportunity to create that on chain, do it permissionlessly, take advantage of all the composability aspects of DeFi, and ultimately just like enter this blue ocean. It was a huge opportunity, right? And it helped that also you had this huge art and collectibles market. So you didn't have to just start from, you know, total, you know, black box, but you had existing collateral that you could create lending markets for. So that was why we started the project. This was in 2021. At the time, when we started MetaStreet, there was $10 million of cumulative lending volume ever in the history of NFTs. So it was pretty early. And there really the only design was like a very simple peer-to-peer contract. And so we basically have spent the last 2 years iterating on that design. You know, obviously many new players have come into the space, many new ideas, and the whole concept of financial markets that support NFTs has started to really mature over the last couple of years. And now we personally, MetaStreet's done about $150 million of lending volume. The industry as a whole is like north of, I think, $4 billion of lending volume. And this is even still before we've gotten to the more mature, you know, versions of collateral, which I think are also starting to come with, like, especially with this real world asset push and other things like that. That was kind of like our journey leading up to starting MetaStreet. And then we can get into like what we've been up to for the last 2 years and all of that. But that's kind of the background.
So far, NFTs have really, as you said, only been used for digital art and collectibles, maybe membership passes too a little bit, but they haven't yet reached their full potential. I think not even close to their full potential. And so there's this coming wave of capital that's going to come in. And as you said, they need the ability to have more lending, more financialization of those NFTs, and that doesn't exist. Who, just so we know, who are the, you mentioned that there's about $4 billion in lending. Who are the major players in that space right now?
There's a couple of funds. It's primarily individuals though. Early adopters, yeah, people who already, you know, view the value of CryptoPunks, for example, as like being pretty stable, and so therefore they're comfortable participating. There are a few funds. Indigo is one, Dialectic. These guys have done pretty sizable positions in the space. But beyond them, it's primarily individuals. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Web3 Academy, your one trusted source to capitalize on the next big phase of the internet. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next one. While you're at it, there's a link in the description for our free newsletter where we provide timely and relevant Web3 insights so you can confidently build and invest in Web3. Make sure to subscribe today. One final note. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and nothing we say is financial advice. Crypto and Web3 are risky, and you should never invest more than you're willing to lose. Thank you, friends, and see you in the next one.